Hi, I'm Taylor Smurl, and I'm an experienced bartender.
And I'm Tommy Smurl. I'm an experienced drinker.
He's my dad, and together this is...
Neat! A weekly booze cast.
With history lessons, trivia, and a twist.
So pull up a stool to the bar and join us for the lowdown on your highball.
Hello, and welcome back to the show. Hey, Dad, how you doing?
We're good, Taylor. I'm even doing better now.
Doing better now?
Yeah, I'm doing better now. If I was any better, I'd be two people.
I don't know what that means.
I don't either. I've heard people say that. This is
I am one person, but I'm doing all right.
All right. I can do like my old buddy Tom Davis. He always said, better than I deserve. And you say, how you doing? Better than I deserve.
That sounds... I don't like that, because then I'm like, what'd you do? Why don't you deserve to be good? What'd you do?
I thought... To me, I always interpreted that as he had a sunny outlook on life, that life was great, and he felt honored just to be there.
Oh, okay. Well, that's far less suspicious than what I took away from that. All right. Well, hey, did you have anything good to drink this week? And last week, you had nothing. What about this week?
I crapped out last week.
No problem with that. That's fine.
I crapped out last week, but this week, I hit the jackpot.
You hit the jackpot? What was the jackpot?
Well, I decided I was hankering for espresso martini again, and I had to refresh myself on the recipe, and when I looked it up, it said it had one that was, you don't have to use any simple syrup, you just make it up with more Kahlua. And I thought, well, that sounds interesting, let's see how that tastes. So it was just your vodka and then equal parts Kahlua and espresso, and shake that up and strain it, and man, it was delicious. So then I had to make a double after that, and so I ended up just filling up my whole coffee thermos cup with espresso martini and drinking that. So that way I had to make less trips to the bar.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, where were you going that you were filling up a to-go full of espresso martini?
I wasn't going anywhere. I just didn't want to have to keep going back to the bar and mixing them. And I knew I was going to stick with it, so I just made them up and filled the cup up.
That's like, I'm not worried about how much alcohol that is. I'm worried about how much espresso that is. What time of day were you having these?
Oh, it was night.
Please tell me it wasn't the evening.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. It was night.
Well.
I slept like a baby.
Did you?
Yeah, the vodka counteracts the espresso.
Well, I mean, I spent time as a barista. My caffeine levels have never, like, readjusted. Coffee does nothing to me. I like it. I enjoy the taste. I might feel good for about a half an hour after I have an espresso, and then it's useless.
Yeah, I can drink coffee at night. I can drink coffee, you know, like if you have a piece of pie at dessert or something, and drink coffee with it, and I can go right to bed. Doesn't bother me.
Yeah, same.
Well, what about you? You have any interesting drinks?
What did I have this? I got some, you know, after our pumpkin beer episode a few weeks ago, I looked on the, like, on the Pumpkin website. It will tell you what stores around you not only sell Pumpkin, but also, like, the other offerings they have.
Right.
So there's a grocery store that's not too far from me that had both Pumpkin and the Warlock, the pumpkin stout.
Mm-hmm.
So I hadn't had the Warlock in years, so I decided to go get some of those, and I had a few of those, which is great. It was as good as I remember. It is a lot more stouty than I remember it being. I don't know what
stouty.
I remember it being like just very sweet and like pie. And it's actually, no. Maybe they've, who knows? I mean, the first time I had it, I think, was the year it came out. It was many years ago. And this one was very like stout forward and then a nice pumpkin finish, whereas the Pumpkin is very pumpkin forward. Mm. So anyway. But that was nice.
Well, all right.
It's still like 90 degrees here, so it doesn't feel like stout weather or pumpkin weather, but I just don't care. And I'm ready for it.
I'll always drink
trying
a stout.
To will the fall.
Yeah, I'll always drink a stout or a porter. I don't care what season it is. That doesn't bother me.
Just, you know, it. Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't feel right, but but it's okay. Well, so for this week, we have a question-inspired episode.
Aha! I like question-inspired episodes. Somebody wants to know something.
Yes, one of our wonderful patrons over on our Patreon asked us a question that I thought was a good basis for an episode. The question was, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the 99 brand and all of its products. It seems to be pretty substantial. I was just wondering if you could maybe do an episode about their products and what the hell to do with some of their weirdo flavors outside of shooting them. I have a 99 banana that I have no idea what I'm going to do with. Thank you both for the show. And that comes to us from Ashley. So first off, Ashley, thank you for the question. Any of you out there that have questions, you should send them to us.
Thank you, Ashley. And if you have 99 bananas, you better start eating because they're going to be rotten before you can get to the end.
It's a liqueur. Well, it's technically a schnapps. But I will get more to your question and the 99 brand as a whole. But before we do, I thought this was actually a great question in which to talk about the category of spirits that 99 products fall under, which is schnapps, which we've mentioned here and there, but I don't think we've ever actually talked about what the category is. So I thought we could do that.
When I think of schnapps, the first thing that comes to mind is teenagers grabbing bottles of it and drinking like peppermint schnapps until they throw up or something like that.
Well, and I think what your perception of schnapps is very much depends on where you live in the world.
Yeah.
Because the American version of schnapps, and I think it's also kind of the Canadian version, even it's sort of influential in like some of the UK, that is very much one thing. And then if you go to like more, like there's a lot of areas in Europe and I mean the rest of the world, it has a very different idea of schnapps. It's kind of a tale of two schnapps, if you will. And if there's a difference between them, it's some have one, like there's a 1p schnapp and a 2p schnapp. Does that make sense? Like we're used to schnapps as S-C-H-N-A-P-P-S, right?
So the difference is but a single P.
But a single P in a world of difference. The older style is just the single P schnapps. So to talk about these two different, very different schnapps, we're going to go with the history, with the timeline. We're going to start with the one that came first, and that is the European style schnapps. So to begin, I think we can just start with the word itself. It's German in origin. It's a colloquial term really to mean any strong spirited drink that you take as a shot. It comes from schnappen, which means snap, and that just references the quickness of which you're meant to consume the drink. So, and I mean that in that sense, it is actually the same way we use the word shot, right? Like anything could be a shot.
Mm-hmm.
It's more designated by the fact that it's in a small glass and you drink it quickly.
Has nothing to do with the flavors or how you make it.
Yeah, not about the content at all. In fact, this is also the same idea of there's a term that's used. It's a Danish and Swedish usage of just snaps, and that is the same idea, just something you drink quickly from a small glass. And in their case, it's usually vodka or akvavit. But so I think it's sort of confusing in the same way that sake, the word sake, can be confusing in that sake can refer specifically to the rice wine that is sake, or in Japan it can refer to any spirit, mm-hmm. just a term for alcohol in general. Likewise, schnapps in the countries that create schnapps in Europe, you know, like you know, we're talking like Germany, Switzerland, you know, all around just like Austria, Hungary, Romania, all the places where it originated, it can refer to a specific style of liquor, but it can also just refer to anything you put in a tiny glass and shoot. So hopefully that's clear.
And maybe your drink will be clear.
A little bit. Yeah, maybe. Well, it should be. If it's schnapps, but not if it's any schnapps, just certain schnapps.
Yeah.
All right. So the more in line with this episode, when we talk about schnapps, as in the specific type of alcohol it's referencing, that is more of just a unaged distilled fruit brandy. So you're taking fruit, you are fermenting it, and then you are distilling that fermentation. It is usually with the natural yeast that's just occurring wildly on the fruit. It's a very simple process, and the end product would taste closer to like a lightly flavored vodka, you know, like an eau de vie.
And that's a European form of schnapps.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So very different from, I think, what most of us think of. And this style of schnapps originates around Austria and Romania in the 18th century, alongside the invention of the copper pot still, really revolutionary in the world of distilling. These regions already had impressive fruit cultivation, and so that would lead to that usage of fruit to then macerate and then, you know, derive this fairly high-octane spirit from anywhere from like 30% to 40% alcohol, though it can go higher. And this was the proliferation of this schnapps was actually aided greatly by none other than Maria Theresa, or Marie Antoinette's mother, who was the empress of the Austria-Hungarian Empire at the time. And she loved schnapps, and she also loved money. So she saw the profit possibilities of allowing people to produce schnapps and encouraging people to produce schnapps. So basically, it was legalized that every household, kind of like the same thing we had here in the States briefly. It's actually a lot of different monarchies and governments have used it to drive profits, where it's like, you can make this in your home, but you have to pay taxes on it. So people were allowed to make schnapps. Farmers who were growing all of this fruit were then allowed to make schnapps with it and sell it. But then they also had to pay taxes on it. And that led to a lot of money for the empire.
Well, hail to the empire.
Well, I mean, you know, it didn't end well, I think, in the long term for them. But schnapps was put on the map. It was very popular all throughout Europe. There was a proliferation of local varieties of schnapps. This is sort of where schnapps is a catch-all term for lots of spirits, which can sound confusing, but each individual type of schnapps has sort of a subcategorical name. Like, you've got, like, Obstler or Obstbrand, which comes from the German Obst fruit, which uses, like, apples or apricots, cherries, pears, plums. If you use apples with pears together, you have Obstwasser. If you use William pears alone, you have Williamsbrand. You've got just all these different, like, subcategories, like Kirschwasser, cherry water, you know, just to tell you what the fruit is, what the distillate is. There's a similar sort of subcategory that they all end in Geist, which means spirit. But that is basically when you're dealing with a fruit that doesn't have enough sugar to naturally ferment. Usually, we're talking about berries, usually. They will put it in a grain neutral spirit. They will macerate it in a grain neutral spirit and then distill that to a schnapps. Mm-hmm. So it's still always like the sugar is being, you know, used in the fermentation. It's not sweetened in any way, but you're getting a slightly more involved process than classic schnapps, which is literally just fruit fermented and then distilled. So no additives, no coloring agents, no ages, just fruit turned into booze.
But that's the main thing identifying the European form of schnapps, is that it's derived from the distilled fruit. I mean,
yes,
that it's not the same as the American version.
Yeah, there is no added sugar. There is not coloring. It is just a very clean, simple, and very revered product. You know, it's very respectable, I would say, which mm-hmm. I think kind of is opposite the way we think of schnapps here in the States. But you'll often see, which can add to the confusion, you'll see other spirits sort of thrown under the umbrella of schnapps, basically anything that's sort of a infusion first and then distillation. So, like, a lot of things that I think you would consider in the broader sense to be Amaros or digestifs, like Jägermeister, is sometimes called a schnapps. Mm-hmm. It is in the sense that you shoot it, but in this slightly more limited idea of like fruit brandy, it is very much not.
Where does a deer's blood fall into it?
It's not deer's blood.
That's what I always heard.
It's a bunch of herbs and roots.
I always heard there was deer's blood in it.
No. I like Jägermeister. I think Jägermeister has a a worse reputation than it deserves, only here in America.
That's because all those frat boys got hold of it.
Exactly. Well, it's a lovely spirit, but it is not, it's a schnapps in the sense that you shoot it. It's not a schnapps in this more limited category that we're talking about schnapps. Mm-hmm. And this kind of schnapps will be consumed usually as a digestif after dinner, room temperature, and of course from a small tulip or a capita glass, just a little, you know, you focus the aromas. Just shoot it all at once with a cheers or with a toast. And rarely, if ever, would it be cocktailed with. Is it also just wouldn't... you could use it as a base for a cocktail, sure. But it would operate very differently in a cocktail than what we might think of as like a sweet liqueur almost, mm-hmm. you know? It's a very dry spirit.
Yeah, it's funny. That's another one to add to the list of all the ones that we've looked at where you have the European version and the American version. The European version usually says, drink it straight. You have it like you said, an aperitif or a digestif, and you just drink it straight, and you never mix it. But you come to America, and the first thing you do is mix it in a drink.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, I mean, not the concept of cocktailing in, I mean, it is really the American sense of cocktailing there's not a lot of things that Americans claim that really Americans invented, but the concept of cocktailing is... as far as taking a bunch of stuff off the back bar, mixing it individually into an individual glass, that is more or less an American original.
Or a thermos cup.
Or a thermos cup. Now let's get to the two peas, the other schnapps.
Two peas.
The way we know.
Two peas schnapps, in a pod.
Not a lightly flavored vodka, not a particularly refined drink. It is usually cheap. It is often brightly colored. It has a lot of artificial flavoring in it, a lot of sugar, sometimes very silly flavors. And that is because while those European schnapps are fermented from fresh fruit and distilled, American-style schnapps are grain-neutral spirits that are flavored and sweetened. So you're just starting with like that bottle of Everclear, mm-hmm. and you are adding to it mm-hmm. those... extracts or chemicals to make it taste like something. A bunch of sugar is, you know, that is, it's all after the distillation that the spirit is created.
Red food dye number 39 or whatever it is you're not supposed to have.
it's also a much more recent creation. You know, as I mentioned, European schnapps date back to like the 1700s, 18th century. This American idea of schnapps really first starts coming into play post-Prohibition, so we're talking the early 30s. Mm-hmm. One of the first ones that really catches on is peppermint schnapps, and the sort of fabled origin story of that is there was this traveling salesman named Al Dorsch who witnessed that, you know, we're talking like just 2 years after Prohibition was lifted, so the whiskey that we were making in America just couldn't age as long as we were used to drinking whiskey. It was very young. We're talking like White Dog. Mm-hmm. And so it was harsh to drink, but they were trying to sell it anyway because we lost our distilling culture. We had only young spirits. So to deal with the harshness of the young whiskey, people would drop a peppermint into it to sweeten it up and sort of distract you from the flavor. So this Al Dorsch, he saw this and he thought this was a good idea. So he took this idea to Philip and Sons Distillery, which was in Minneapolis in 1935, and was like, hey, we should put this in a bottle. And they did. And that was the origin of a very sweet, very artificially flavored peppermint schnapps. Sort of similarly, around the same time period, 1930s, you have peach schnapps coming in as like a popular product, also very sweet, peach flavored, probably involved real peaches at some point, but definitely not distilled from the sugars occurring in peach. It was a peach flavored liqueur.
To me, peach and peppermint are probably the two that are the most known and that you see, you know, get used. Peppermint more or less straight and peach as a mixer.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, those are the two that you will find in not classic cocktails, but in like known cocktails, like especially like peach schnapps is in a lot of mm-hmm. those sort of dark days of cocktails from like the 70s into the 80s and 90s. You see a lot of peach schnapps getting mm-hmm. thrown around. And really, that just expanded. You know, we've talked a lot about the dark days of cocktailing as the 80s and 90s. And that's really when you see schnapp brands taking off, as in like having an entire list of flavors in America. And then this sort of spilled over into the UK a bit, like some of the sweeter versions got popular over there. But you know, we talked a while, this was before your time, Dad. We did an episode on Fireball, and Fireball was one that originated actually in like the 90s in a larger line of schnapps. Well, they were all called McGillicuddies, but that came about this time. Archer's, DeCooper, like these all started around this time. And back to the question, as did the 99 range of products, started in 1997.
Yeah, I'd never heard of that brand before until getting ready for this episode. And also, I can tell you my first inclination when I heard of schnapps, I thought that was a brand name. I didn't realize it was a style of drink. I thought that was a brand. Really? Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So I couldn't have named any actual brand names at the time.
So like schnapps, Schlitz, like, okay, I kind of get it.
You know? Yeah, that's what it sounds like. You know, it's schnapps. Well, they make all that sweet stuff.
That is the word. Yeah, why they decided to call it schnapps, you know, I don't know, because it's really by the origin of the word schnapps, it's really not. But then I guess it is in the sense that you shoot it. So I guess in that's the way we're using schnapps. It's something that you might shoot. Although in America, we're usually mixing it. We're not shooting it.
Yeah, well, I think it has more to do with they took the basic idea of schnapps and just created this other thing, and it's a different version of schnapps. I mean, the 1P kind.
The 1P. So 2P schnapps, the 99 range. So this was first made by the Barton 1792 Distillery. When do you think the Barton 1792 Distillery was founded, Dad?
1792?
Nope.
Oh.
1879. I don't know why.
That's like that riddle about who's buried in Grant's tomb.
Yeah. I don't know what. Maybe they just wanted more street cred, so they named it something older. Because now 1879 also sounds old. Also, that would have been. We're still talking about the years that schnapps, the original, the 1P schnapps, would have like started being popular. So right. why they threw it back? I don't know. But then they weren't making schnapps originally. They made it. We're making a bunch of other spirits. This was in Bardstown, Kentucky. They would not make the schnapps until 97. So it's just no.
Wow.
No timeline is aligning here.
Well, maybe one of our listeners knows why. They'll chime in, just like they set me straight on Southern Tier.
Yes. So the 99 range, of course, started with 99 bananas, which is a sweet banana-flavored liqueur. No actual bananas were harmed in the process. Their big selling point, however, unlike most sweet schnapps, which, you know, would clock in around 30... as low as 15, as high as maybe 30-35% ABV. So not foolproof. 99 bananas, the 99 in the name, comes from not that 99 bananas were used, but rather that it is 49.5% alcohol, or 99 proof. So that is the name of the spirit, refers to the alcohol proof.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And that was their unique place in the market. It was very strong schnapps. And they expanded the line of flavors they have. It's pretty wild, actually. I mean, there's some ones you'd expect: apples, black cherry, you know, coconut, lemon, lime, you know, like orange, citrus, mangoes, peaches, all pretty normal. But I mean, also some, you know, butterscotch, root beer, espresso, Long Island iced tea flavor. They have a mystery flavor. It's not like, you know, like the mystery dum dum lollipop that you get,
right?
You're like, oh no, what flavor is that? Mm-hmm. Like, okay, that's fine. I'll put a mystery sucker in my mouth, but this is mystery flavored alcohol.
I mean, hopefully it's going to affect the flavor of your drink, and you want to know how it's going to affect it.
Well, I looked at the label, and it said this flavor is poppin', and then it on their website they have a recommended cocktail to put each one in, and the cocktail was called like a popcorn something. So I'm like, oh, it's popcorn flavored.
Ugh.
It's gotta be popcorn flavored, right?
Yeah. Why not just have?
I like that they're like, no, it's a mystery flavor. It's popcorn flavored, but still, they have popcorn flavored schnapps. I don't know. I've made popcorn flavored in like infusions before, but it's all over the place, you know. And it's definitely not. I don't think that 99 Brands is interested at all in being a highbrow experience.
No, I would not say that's their goal.
I think they know their market, and they are appealing to their market.
Yeah. Yeah, I never had heard of that 99 Brands before.
Well, they have, on their website, they have, like, you can get buckets of, like, airplane bottles, basically, you know, for a party. Like, if you just want a bucket of little bottles. You can get, they have, like, an instruction that, like, looks like a birthday cake.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a birthday cake full of tiny bottles of overproof sugar booze.
Tiny bottles full of schnapps.
I mean, as a vegan, I could eat that cake, so I'm fine with that. But you know, I don't want to. We're talking about two different spirits here. Ultimately, we're talking about, you know, something that is very clean and dry and a little higher alcohol, and then we're talking about something that is a little bit more fast and loose. You know, artificially flavored, artificially colored, sweeter. It's not necessarily like. There are artificially colored and artificially flavored spirits that you like that sit on like the top shelf, you know? I mean, like there's nothing in Campari that makes it that color.
Right.
That is artificial coloring. There are lots of things that will have lots of not even liqueurs, like alcohol, like spirits that have some artificial flavorings in them just to give notes that you can't necessarily replicate other ways. So I don't think that there's anything like wrong about it as long as they're honest, and they are honest about it. It's artificial flavoring. That's fine.
Sure. I mean, I think they're just saying, let's have fun. Experiment. See what you think.
Well, I mean, the flavors, that is the thing. Cause you know, back to Ashley's question, what can you do with them? You know, I don't, they're like, if you've got a bottle of it, they're easy to mix with because the flavors are so concentrated that you don't need to use much of them. I actually used 99 Bananas for a party that I did a menu for. This was years ago, but they wanted large batch like tiki style cocktails, and I wanted to do sort of it's basically like a banana daiquiri. And I had, because, you know, you get a lot of, like, banana flavors from, like, high ester, like, Jamaican rums have sort of a banana flavor. You know, like, an overripe banana has a very specific flavor. Mm-hmm. You get that from a lot of rums. So I wanted a banana liqueur to sort of bring that flavor out, and I was originally making it with a Banana de Brazil, which is a bit of a more expensive, highbrow, uses bananas. It's, like, based in cognac. It's a fancy banana liqueur. It's delicious. There's nothing wrong with that. But I was using the Banana de Brazil, and because the flavor is a little bit more sophisticated, a little bit more nuanced, I had to use a significant amount of it to get like a good banana flavor in, like, we're talking a batched cocktail. And it was also a little bit more expensive than I wanted to spend. So I just got the 99 Bananas. Like, how bad can it be? I'm not using that much in it. And I could use a lot less because it was such a strong flavor. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the cocktail went over great. Everybody liked it. You know, and there were a lot of like pretentious bartenders like, yeah, it's 99 Bananas. They didn't necessarily like that. It worked.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking that, I mean, one of the common banana combinations, and I think about a chocolate covered banana. So I thought maybe you could take like a vodka and put in that 99 Bananas and then put in, you know, like either a Kahlua or a creme de coco or something like that, you know? And make like a chocolate banana drink.
Maybe. I mean, it's, you know, and you know, the banana flavor, I will say, and this is probably true of all of them. Like, you know, the banana runt?
The banana runt?
Like the candy runts.
Oh,
You know, the banana runt?
Right.
It tastes like banana runts.
Huh.
That is the flavor of banana they have in 99 Bananas. It's not fresh banana. Mm-hmm. It's not like bite into a banana. It's like banana runt candy. But the thing is, I like banana runt candy. So as long as you know that's the flavor you're getting, you're not mm-hmm. getting fresh, you know, slightly, you know, herbaceous notes of banana. You're getting banana runts.
Right.
That's fine.
But, you know, with schnapps, there's some of the recipes for different kinds of it that look pretty interesting. There's like caramel Irish coffee, adult hot chocolate, Jolly Rancher cocktail. All of those sound pretty interesting.
Well, I mean, I think that it's definitely like the 99 line is definitely used best if you're making a little bit of like a fun party drink that's going to be a little bit sweeter.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you just want a specific flavor note. And you don't want to necessarily have to, maybe you don't have time to make a syrup. Maybe you don't want to buy the most expensive, like, I don't know, chocolate liqueur or banana liqueur. And you just want a little bit of a flavor. You could use a little bit of this and see how it goes. You know, it depends on what else is in your drink, but it could work for you. One thing that I actually saw on their website that I thought was actually a really cute idea. And I think a really simple way of using it. Without mm-hmm. having to buy too much or really, really risk too much, because I can't imagine this wouldn't work out, is they have a whole flavor pairing with alcoholic seltzer on their website. So each flavor they have paired with a different flavored alcoholic seltzer.
Oh.
And I think that's a great way to use these.
Oh, yeah, because that's the complaint you hear about a lot of the seltzers, that there's just barely a taste to them. So you add a shot of this to it.
Yeah.
That's better than mom's shot of vodka, because that doesn't do anything for the flavor.
Well, there you go. You get a little extra alcohol. You get some sweetness. You get some flavor. And I mean, if you're already drinking boozy seltzer, like, you know what you're about. If you're drinking, I drink boozy seltzer. That's not an insult. It's just, you know, if you're having mm-hmm. the kind of night where you just want low maintenance drinking, you can get us some of these that match the flavors and just experiment. Have fun.
Yeah.
Not a lot of cost. Not a lot of weird stuff. No prep.
You know what they would have really helped? Remember those holiday seltzers that we tried?
Nothing would have helped those. Nothing.
Well, it couldn't have made them worse, is all I'm saying.
That's true.
They only had one way to go.
I agree. And I kind of like that. I don't, you know, when I'm in a cocktail mood, then this is just me. Everybody's palate is different. The way everybody likes to drink is different. And that is fine. No judgment on my part. But when I want to make cocktails, I do want to be a little fussy. I want the nice ingredients. I want to have everything be like, you know, fresh and fancy. But when I'm in an alcoholic seltzer mood, I absolutely could also be in a 99 Bananas mood.
There you go.
Yeah, get one of those. Oh, try it maybe in the lemon lime, like, you know, then you try it in the pineapple. That might be good. Make a little bit of a tropical experience there. Throw in a lime wedge if you want to just add a little bit of fresh citrus. You could very easily make some very simple, fun, hard seltzer cocktails with any of these flavors. I think it would be pretty cool.
You 99 Bananas and played 99 Left Balloons.
That is the obvious pairing on mm-hmm. repeat. Just switch back and forth between the German and the English version. There you go. Just like schnapps.
Yeah, that's right. You could have both versions there and switch it back and forth and you'd be, there you go.
And of course, I mean, this is all to say that if you're in a schnapps producing region of Europe and you ask for peppermint schnapps, you'll probably get some side eye. That is a very different experience there, but worth trying. There are some distilleries in America that are making that style of schnapps, the one piece style of schnapps. So, you know, you can definitely find it in the States. It's a little bit harder to find, but it's absolutely out there. And I think something that is its own cool experience. But there is absolutely no shame in the sweet, kind of goofy American versions. I keep saying American. I think Canada also has several lines of these. But yeah, whatever. Just have fun with them. Know what you're getting into. Know that you got artificial sugars. You might get a headache. But, you know, that's as long as you know what you're getting into going in, I think that's fine.
So whether you like to take one pea or two peas, enjoy yourself.
Yes. Both schnapps are valid in very different ways. So I hope I hope we answered your question, Ashley, and also gave you a little bit of fun information about schnapps. I certainly enjoyed learning about all this. I knew that they were different things, but I didn't know exactly how or why.
I didn't even know there was two things, and I didn't know why, and I thought they were all called schnapps. I mean, the brand name. I didn't know there was any other brand other than schnapps.
Now you know. Now you know something.
The more you know, always learn something.
The next holiday I'm in for, I'm going to send one of those birthday cakes of 99 flavors, and we'll get that holiday pack of seltzers again, and we'll just see. We'll see if we can
try that. Or we can try some of these yummy-looking recipes.
Well, I think those recipes are definitely something that I think you would enjoy.
Yeah, I do too.
There's a lot of like cookie cream magic going on.
Adult hot chocolate.
Yes.
That means I can't let Cooper and Charlie get into it.
No. No, absolutely not. No, these are not safe for kids. Super not safe for kids. Despite the packaging and the labeling and everything around them, I will say that. I could see that 99 Bananas and the whole brand is a little bit guilty of, like, who do you think you're selling to?
That's right.
Who do you think you're trying to get to buy this?
Those same teenagers I've seen throwing up in the field.
This is definitely this is bad. Yeah. All right. We're not here to judge. We're just here to give you the history. All right. Thank you, Dad, for being here.
Well, thank you, Tay, for having me. Like I stated, I learned something new, just like I always do.
Thank you, Ashley, for asking the question. Again, I encourage you all, if you have questions about specific spirits, brands, cocktails, what have you, please send them to us. We will either throw a bunch of them in an episode together or give you your own episode if it gives us enough juice for one. And of course, massive shout out to our patrons over on our Patreon. You are the reason this podcast gets made, so thank you so much for your continual support. If you're curious about that, you should check that out. There are rewards, there are extra bonus videos, all sorts of fun stuff. And if you want to find us on social media, we are Neat Boozecast on Twitter and Instagram. We are neattheboozecast@gmail.com if you want to email us. And if you want to talk about what kind of schnapps you like, 1P, 2P, however many Ps, you can do that.
At Neat the Boozecast group Facebook page. We're there under all those words. Neat the Boozecast group Facebook page. Group page.
Yeah, there. Go there. Do that. Hey, thanks again. I've been Taylor Smurl.
I've been Tommy Smurl.
And this has been...
Well, we'll have to get schnapple. Schnapple, that's a different thing. You don't want to get your schnapps confused with your schnapple.
I don't think Snapple has any schnapps.
They sound a lot like it. They both have two P's.
Well, sometimes.
Hey, the question is, to pee or not to pee? That is the question.
Well, I think when 99 Bananas is involved, it's always to pee.